Hi, I'm Brad. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Luis Obispo, California.
Lafayette, Indiana.
I'm calling from Cape Town, South Africa.
And wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada, and I love seeing things from a new point of view. And welcome to Blonde Radio, where every week I book calls with strangers from around the world. This week, we're breaking down stress and how we can manage it. We'll talk to Courtney, a communications major from California, Dominic, a visually impaired wrestler from Indiana, and Leah, an illustration student from South Africa. But first, this week at Blonde Radio on Instagram, I asked you this week's question. What tools in your personal life do you use to de-stress? Here's what you had to say.
Hi, I'm Amy and I'm calling from France. My favorite way to de-stress is by reading books. I've always loved to read ever since I was a child. There's just something special with the feeling that you get when you get sucked into the universe of a good book. Like when it happens to me, I start to forget the world around me and the story makes me leave all my stress behind. Even if it's just for a while. And it's always nice to make time for the things you love, especially if it's something that gives you comfort and makes you feel relaxed. So even when I'm very busy and stressed, I always try to make some time during the day to read.
This is Melo from California. The way I de-stress in my personal life is to lay down. After a really long day of work, I spend 6 hours a day with kids in a very bright and colorful room, constantly on the move, constantly surrounded by noise and other people. When I get back home, I just want to sit in the dark for a little while, and it helps a lot. I do it for maybe like an hour. I find that getting rid of as many of the senses as possible is very good for me in terms of rest. You should definitely try it.
So hi, my name is Javier, calling from Valencia, Spain. And the way I de-stress myself is by teaching people on science or simply reading about insects, that it's one of my passions. And it's not pretty much about like learning, it's much like teaching, because I think by teaching I like focus all my problems into giving tools to everybody. And I think that's something I really like to do.
Thanks to everyone for submitting their responses, and we'll hear more answers throughout today's show. Now, here's Leah.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm good, and yourself?
Can't complain. I'm Brad, nice to meet you.
I'm Leah, nice to meet you.
Leah, fantastic. How's the day going for you so far? Or I guess, is it coming to the end of your day?
It is the end of my day, yeah. Yeah, no, it's been good. It's been chilled. And yours?
I'm glad to hear. Start of mine, I'll be completely honest.
Oh, woke yeah. up
very shortly ago, but I'm glad we can make this work.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry to wake you.
Oh, no. I need to be on a bit more, maybe a sensible sleeping routine. So, yeah, this is helpful.
Okay, I feel you.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time out of the day to chat. It really means a lot.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
And then where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, yeah. I should have put that together time zone wise, but that's so cool. That's awesome.
I'm sure there's other places in the world that are in the same time zone as me. So
yeah.
All good.
Fantastic. Well, off the top here, I guess I'll kind of give some space for you to give the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what would you say got you to where you are today?
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I'm Leah, obviously. Basically, I am in my final year studying illustration. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about, I don't know, culture and like color and just everything kind of intrigues me. I don't think there's anything that doesn't. On the side, I'm also a pet sitter and yeah, obviously enjoy illustrating and like playing with different mediums and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I really love also thinking about things that cause tension. Like I think maybe this is going a bit too deep, but like growing up, I think I was very much focused on like binary thinking of like, you know, either I have to be super girly or super like tomboyish and there's no in between and stuff. I still catch myself in that sometimes, but like, I think I've learned to kind of use that to my advantage in the way that I illustrate. And the only reason I'm really thinking about this right now is just because I'm actually busy with my portfolio for the final end of year, kind of like end of my college career. And I have to figure out like what my identity is in regards to that. So that's why I'm thinking about that. But at the time of my life, I'm looking to move out of home soon and stuff. I'm in a very serious relationship with my partner and we're going to move in together. But in terms of like being an illustrator, I think that was just so unexpected actually, because I didn't do art at all in school. Like it wasn't a subject that I did. I studied in high school. I did like drama and music, but that was about as creative as it got, but like nothing in terms of like drawing or illustration and stuff. And I was initially studying at a place called UCT, which is like a university in Cape Town, obviously. And I was studying like gender and anthropology there. And then I dropped out because I was like, okay, I really love what I'm studying, but like, I'm not doing the work on time. And like, I'm not passionate about doing my assignments. So it was just like, I'm not going to actually make this into a career. And I want to find something that's a bit more creative and stuff. And so I dropped out and my mom was like, okay, so what are you doing next year? And I was like, oh, I think I'm just going to work for a bit and like figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And she's like, no, that's not good enough.
Oh, yeah.
So she showed me this video for this college called Red and Yellow, which is where I study now. And I was like, oh, I know a couple friends of mine who like study here. Maybe I'll chat to them and maybe I'll apply. And like, you have to do this whole skills assessment thing to apply, like basically build a little portfolio for them. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to spontaneously do this. And if I get in, then like maybe it's a sign or whatever. And I got in and I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to Red and Yellow. And that's how I got here. You know, I'd never actually expected it at all. Like I didn't ever see myself becoming an illustrator, but I'm quite stoked that I made that decision.
No, that's awesome. And I'd say, you know, some of those best life decisions are the ones that we don't really expect. So I'm glad that, you feel comfortable and stoked about where you are right now. And, you know, even as you mentioned, it sounds like art for you has been in many different forms and mediums, and you've been at least, if not like actively practicing, very curious and interested in it for quite a long time. So I'm wondering, for you, what itch does, you know, art scratch that nothing else does?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I think when it comes to the art that I do today, I think, as I said, like the whole binary thinking, it helps me make sense of like, what I was kind of brought up with and like the kind of things that I was taught as a kid, and how I kind of think about those now as someone who's definitely knows a lot more about myself and the world and stuff. So I think that's kind of the itch, as well as like, I just think it helps me find out more about myself and gets me thinking about myself and the world in a way that nothing else would have, you know, because along with the illustration stuff, we also study critical theory and like philosophy kind of stuff. And so it just gets you thinking about the world and like the systems in place. And I don't know, that sounds very cringe, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the itch, I think, like, you know, just thinking about stuff. Yeah.
And a little side pivot here, I do want to mention, and maybe you have an answer for me, or maybe there is no real answer, but your feed to me on, especially on Instagram, is so interesting because it's so dedicated to other people, which is not usually a choice you see on social media. Why does that work best for you? Why is that sort of the MO?
I had a feeling you were going to ask about my photography. I think it's twofold, you know, like one of them is quite surface level and the other is a bit deeper. So I think I'll start about the surface level kind of thing. I think I just genuinely like to, so I like to shoot films. So that's kind of what you see on my Instagram. And okay, maybe it's threefold actually. Sorry. Okay. So the first thing, the reason why I love to shoot film specifically is I think it gives you a bit of like, you kind of lose a bit of control in that. And I know that about myself that I'm like really, I have to feel in control. So I think it's quite an escape to kind of shoot film and you don't know how it's going to come out. And you're just learning something every time you develop a role, you know, you kind of learn a little bit to take with you for the next role. And like, so there's that. And then the kind of subject matter that I shoot, I think I just genuinely just shoot things that I find beautiful. I don't think there's much of a deeper meaning to it. It's just like the moments in time that I think are really pretty or like, just kind of pleasing to the eye, you know. Yeah. I think like there's a lot of things in life that just little things that really, really impress me. And then like the deeper thing in terms of like shooting other subject matter instead of myself, it's quite awkward to say because I don't say this often, but like I pretty much never consent to being in front of the camera. Like, even if it's someone else taking the picture, I'm not really mm-hmm. confident enough in my own looks to kind of be okay with that. So that's kind of why I don't shoot myself.
No, yeah, that's a lovely set of reasons, and that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing. And your initial message when you reached out, you kind of mentioned courage at one point. I'm curious, where would you say you've been finding courage recently in your life?
Gosh, I think it's honestly like a constant battle for me, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I know that this is not something that I'm the only person in the world dealing with this. I think everyone, or like so many people, deal with anxiety. And I think that's something that's kind of ruled my life for a very long time. So for me, with like courage and stuff, I think in terms of college, we had to do like an internship earlier this year, I think mm-hmm. like a month ago or so. And it was another spontaneous decision that ended up being the best decision of my life. But like, I spontaneously like applied to intern with this tiny little animation agency. Nice. And at the time I didn't know that they were animation. So I was like, I just really liked their website. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, you know, we're animation and like you're an illustrator, but we'll make it work. And I was like, oh my fuck, I don't know anything about animation. And I was really stressed about it and like mm-hmm. got really fearful. And then I actually got there and it was just the most amazing experience of my life. And I made like really great friends with these people. And it really built up my self-confidence, I think, to meet these people. And like, I think that often I tend to have this belief that like, unless I know it explicitly, like I think that everyone hates me, even if they have no reason to, even if they're not even expressing it outright. And it was just kind of learning to be in their space every single day with these people that I actually haven't met before and be okay with that kind of, yeah. And like learn to not give in to that thought process of like, oh, they really don't like me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's courage. That's how I'm battling with courage now, I guess.
And listen, it sounds like you're winning. So I'm so stoked for you.
Thank you. And just looking at it now, actually, I'm looking at the message that I sent to you. I think that was literally in the middle of my internship. So,
oh, yeah.
So I think that's interesting.
Right in the height of some courage, maybe. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this week's question in closing here, what do you do in your day-to-day life to de-stress? What small things do you sort of keep in your toolkit? And what would you recommend to people who are looking to do the same?
You know, to de-stress, you said, hey.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I don't think I do enough to de-stress, but I know the things that I should do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I tend to be like constantly kind of stressing about something. But if I think about it, I kind of, you know, set aside some time for myself every night before I go to bed to read and like just chill out.
Mm-hmm.
But often it's also just like taking a nap. Yeah. Like I can't get through a day without a little nap, a little mm-hmm. sleep in the middle. But there's also, you know, like I've spent a lot of my time like in my teenage years kind of in therapy and doing something called DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, and then mm-hmm. CBT as well, cognitive behavioral therapy. And those have given me so many tools like self-soothing and like things that kind of help you not only lower your anxiety, but like kind of regulate your stress and stuff. So yeah.
I love that. A nice little combination of like really practical, you know, read a book, but then also like more methodical, thought out, yeah, structured ways of de-stressing.
Yeah. So like with DBT, there's like, you get steps and like, it's even as simple as just putting an ice block on the back of your neck is going to like chill out your heart rate a little bit. And then you feel a little bit better. And it's like the simplest thing in the world. Like, why aren't we all doing that?
Totally. If it's bringing your head to such a better mental state. Yeah. We all need to get on that. So thank you for dropping some info here. I need to do a little research, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. I would recommend it to anyone pretty much.
That's fantastic. Sweet. Thank you so much for, again, sharing your time and words.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Always, always. Any exciting plans the rest of the evening, or is this about time to turn in?
Oh, I wish it was time to turn in, but I've got to get this portfolio done. So I'm pretty much going to be illustrating for the rest of the night, to be honest.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you so much. This was quite an experience.
I'm glad we could chat. I'll let you to it. Best of luck with the portfolio. But until then, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day further.
Appreciate it. Ciao.
Okay. Cheers.
Hey Brad, I'm Yasmin. I'm calling from Southern California and I use music to de-stress. Usually if I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed, I like to just lay down with my headphones and listen to some music. I'll try focusing on anything in the song, like backup vocals, guitars, drums, anything in order to keep my mind off of things. That usually helps me relieve a bit of that stress.
Hey, my name is Owen. I'm calling from Muncie, Indiana, and to de-stress, I just like to go walk in nature. It's very, very relaxing, and it's just nice to see new scenery whenever you're feeling a little or a lot anxious.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. I'm Brad, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, I'm Dominic.
Dominic, appreciate you taking the time today, it means a lot.
Yep.
Sweet. How's the day been for you so far?
Pretty good overall. Been a long day, but...
Those long days, though, the sense of accomplishment, be hitting good, makes sleeping easier.
Yeah, it does.
Awesome. And then where are you calling from?
Lafayette, Indiana.
Indiana. Very cool. Yep. Never been through yet, but I got a lot ahead of me, so we'll see.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I'll give you some space here at the top to sort of give the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what would you say got you to where you are today?
I'd say just like a little background on me is just... I was born from birth. I was legally blind in my right eye, which basically for if people don't know what that is, like it's everything's just super blurry. Like it's not black vision, but everything's really blurry for my right eye.
Yeah.
And I've been wearing contacts since I was like 6 months old. And then so I'd say like that's been one of the main struggles of my life. But I'd say like perseverance and just wanting to be better, like rise up to the challenge.
Right.
Like, that's how I feel. I feel like I always want to rise up to a challenge.
Oh, that's awesome. And are you currently doing school stuff? Are you working?
Yeah, I'm doing school and working. I'm a freshman in college.
Oh, nice.
So I'm doing that. And then I also work on the side, trying to make more money.
Hell yeah. And what would you say to sort of, just dive into it here? You've lived with this your entire life, and then you're constantly engaging with the people around you who I'm guessing for the most part, you know, have not experienced what you're going through. What would you say is maybe one of the biggest misconceptions or assumptions people have when it comes to your condition?
I'd just say like, this goes for blind people in general. Like, I know there are people who have it way worse than me, like can't see anything.
Sure.
And I'd say, like, one misconception is that we can't really do much or be as good as other people. Mm-hmm. When I was really young, the eye doctor, he knew who my oldest brother was, and he played baseball. He was really good. And then he was like, yeah, this kid, they're your youngest son. He said this to my mom. He said, your youngest son isn't going to be as great as an athlete as your oldest son is. Like, he's not going to be that person because he's blind in that eye.
Right. And what's that like, you know, having that sort of like being labeled without even like getting the opportunity to prove it differently? Like, how does that sit with your mental state?
I don't know. Like, I think I just come from a competitive family.
Yeah.
So like, I've always loved when people doubted me. It was a thing that really helped me when I was wrestling in high school.
Hell yeah.
Like, I just loved when people like wouldn't see me as a challenge, and then it just makes me want to work harder and then prove those people wrong.
That's, for, you know, different aspects of my life, but that's something I've a little bit clung to in the back of my mind. Just like, I have a fair amount of people to prove wrong. I think that can be if managed correctly, a pretty healthy motivator.
But then sometimes it can get the best of us.
Exactly.
Kind of shut us down.
Mm-hmm. Everything in good competition, a fair, you know, I don't know. I it's a totally different type of competitiveness, but I used to be pretty big into competitive video games and esports. And the biggest downfall is like when you stop respecting your competition. You know, you want to prove them wrong, but you don't want to underestimate them the way they might be underestimating you, because then it's gonna be no good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned in your initial message about, was it dislocating your knee?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go for it.
So my junior year of wrestling was the only sport I did. in high school, in eighth grade really, was when I started to get good at wrestling. I won our like local junior high tournament. I went undefeated that year, and then I just realized this is my passion. So I put all my efforts into wrestling. And then my junior year, it was the week before sectionals, which is like our state tournament. It leads into our state tournament. I just ended up stepping bad on my leg. Mm. And then my knee like gave out and I was turning at the same time. And then it popped out right there. The next like couple of days, we had to go to the doctor. Initially, the trainer at our school thought it was a ACL tear.
Right. Which
could have been our worst case scenario if that happened. Mm-hmm. And that's like a 9-month recovery. And then luckily we found out it was a knee dislocation. I ended up going to physical therapy for that for a couple months. And then over the summer, I ended up popping it out again 2 times.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then I ended up getting to my senior year of wrestling. And then before Christmas break, we had another tournament. A kid hit it weird and it popped out. And that put me out like right until sectional tournament again was mm-hmm. when I could wrestle again.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, coming and having that history of already some obstacles set against you and then hit again with this, how do you, you know, stay motivated in the face of that?
I'll be real honest. It was hard.
Yeah.
Like those first like 3 months, I was in a knee immobilizer. So mm-hmm. my leg was just like straight. I had to use crutches to get around everywhere. Really, I lost like all motivation and everything. Like,
yeah.
I just felt I was going through the motions. I'd say going through the motions just would describe it the best. Like, I wasn't really, like, motivated to do anything at all.
Oh, yeah. That's rough. But, I mean, listen, it sounds like, I don't know, at least from your tone and conversation, are you in a better place with that? Do you feel like you got your confidence?
Yeah, I definitely am. Like,
yeah.
I'd say at the end of me wearing my leg immobilizer, like I started talking to more people and then like finally getting that weight off my chest. Cause mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I let myself down getting injured. I felt like I let other people down.
Oh, just that's hard. That's, yeah.
Yeah. That's how I am. Like I want to take all the blame for stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I started talking to like my coaches and other people. Yeah. I came to accept the fact that like, this is something I need to rise over with the help of everyone else. Like I can't do it just all by myself. I need the help of others in my life.
So, that's an awesome way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. It really helped me to get into a better place. And then I'd say just my great group of friends that I have.
Yeah. I'm glad that you could have that network with you.
Yeah.
This week's question is, what do you do in your day-to-day life to de-stress? What are the little things that you find kind of help you get down from that really anxious place? And what would you recommend to people who are looking to do the same?
One thing that I say would helps me to de-stress is, like, I know a lot of my friends always think I'm weird for this, but I always take a bath mm-hmm. at the end of the day instead of taking a shower.
Yeah.
Just because it helps me to just like let my body be there mm-hmm. and then like just get stuff off of my mind. And it's the same for like sometimes at the gym, like I go in the sauna and just sit there, listen to like relaxing music and just think about the thing that got me stressed that day, the things that don't even matter that much, but they still got on my nerves and just like let that float away.
Totally. Yeah. Just like being present in that moment and honestly, like, and relaxing in that moment. That sounds lovely. I'll admit, I can't remember the last time I had a bath, but it's definitely not an unpleasant memory. So maybe I need to revisit.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just like my relaxing place, I guess.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. Thank you for sharing.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans for the rest of your evening?
Not really. I mean, my friends wanted me to play Fortnite or Rocket League with them. I mean, that's like our only time we ever talk because one of them lives in New Orleans now, which is quite a while away from me. So
totally. But I mean now like more than ever. Yeah. Having, oh my goodness, I would say some of my closest friends now are, yeah, people I've never met, which is so crazy to think of. So definitely a valid way to spend time, especially with the people you care about.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again for your time and words. It really means a lot.
Yep. You're welcome.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Valentin. I'm from Germany. how I de-stress in difficult situations in my life is by writing. I love to write a lot, like small prompts, like describing a situation that I like. I can't draw, so the mess in my head I can only write down. So, and that's what I do, and it's so very calming.
Hi, I'm Paulina. I'm from Poland, and to de-stress, actually, I like to read books, fan fictions, because it's very comforting for me. I am doing it for a long time. I started something about 12 years ago, and it always makes me more happy than whatever else I can do.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
I'm Courtney. Nice to meet you, Brad.
Courtney, awesome. How's the day going for you?
It's going well. Just kind of woke up a little bit ago, so just kind of getting started with the day.
I feel
it's good.
Cool. Well, yeah, again, I appreciate you taking the time of the day to chat. It means a lot.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited. I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, so it's awesome to be on this side of it.
Yo, it's so I don't even, maybe it's just me, but I know like we're like 60 some episodes into it, whatever. I still like have a hard time wrapping my head around like people listen to it. So listen, yeah. We're both in the same boat. We're both faking it.
Awesome.
Sweet. And then where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Luis Obispo, California, so on the west coast.
I know a few towns and cities in California. I haven't heard of that one yet, but I'll add it to the list.
Yeah, it's kind of a smaller one, but just a kind of a beachy, college-y town.
Nice.
It's a good vibe.
Yeah. I love it. Cool. Well, I'll give you some space here at the top to, you know, sort of give the elevator pitch on you. Who are you? What do you do? And what would you say got you to where you are today?
Oh, yeah. So I am Courtney, obviously. I'm a 21-year-old. I'm about to be 22 next week. Mm-hmm. So I am currently a student, but I'm also full-time working and just trying to, you know, live on my own. I just moved out and I have my own apartment. So I've been trying to balance being an adult now, which is crazy.
A lot,
Yeah, but I gotta say my passion right now is media creation and writing. Those are kind of my two main things that I have going on right now. And I think what got me there was just really leaning into creativity and kind of leading life with the goal of just being creative any way that I could.
Oh, that's awesome. And it, kind of in your message, you mentioned sort of, I guess I'm curious, what would you say has been sort of the hardest or maybe the most realist truth you've had to face entering your 20s? What's something that you're like, oh, I guess I have to deal with that now?
Yeah, I guess I would have to say trying to figure out who I am and kind of just an identity thing. I think when you're growing up as a, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18, like you're still kind of figuring out just like the world in general and don't really have a lot of time to focus on you as just like a person.
Yeah.
And I think now that I'm kind of growing up even more, it's trying to figure out who I am and what I am about and what makes me happy and kind of who I identify as. And I think that's kind of been a truth that I've been kind of searching for this last year, is just trying to figure out like what I enjoy doing and how I can make that a priority in my everyday life.
That's a great perspective, and I'm glad that you're keeping grounded with that. Would you say there's any problems that you thought would be bigger but ended up being that's whatever?
I mean, I guess I gotta say just the adult things that everyone stresses about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, me trying to find an apartment, or me like doing like having an internet bill, or just like those weird like small things that I thought were going to be so intense, just like the adult lifestyle, I guess, are kind of small in like retrospect to what I thought they were going to be like, I guess.
For sure. Definitely, you know, not ideal. I mean, I don't think any of us like wake up longing to pay bills or like deal with taxes, but definitely manageable. Yeah, it is that sort of self-discovery stuff that do be hitting a bit harder.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Awesome. Now, I'm so curious. Listen, I'm out of the loop. I am aware of Trader Joe's, but out of anyone, I don't understand. There seems to be so much love for the Joe. Can you walk me through it?
Oh my gosh, yes. So I think Trader Joe's has a culture of just positivity and kind of we're told day one to just kind of give customers a wow experience. And I mm-hmm. think that's what kind of got us a cult following, I would say. Yeah. And I think there's kind of like a trending thing on TikTok of like Trader Joe's people or like, you know, we're called crew members. So people, crew members flirting with customers. And I think that's kind of like a funny thing that I see going around.
Yeah.
But I think we're all just really nice. mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the main thing. And like, we enjoy our jobs for the most part and we enjoy the people that we work with. So I think the positivity is just overwhelming and it's kind of just an overall great experience.
Oh, yeah.
It's like interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I've maybe been once in my entire life. My you know what? I'll say I was wowed. I was wowed. So I guess mission accomplished. Yeah. Maybe on my next visit to the States, I'll have to pay another visit and really pay attention to some of these factors.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Hell yeah. Now, moving to Jason here, I kind of want to talk communication. I'm sure, as you know, with your major, really has this power to be such a solution for so many people. Just talking in the most broadest, vaguest terms. But how can we convince and incentivize people to listen and communicate more? What do you think? Is there a solution there? Or is it just that people are going to talk if they want to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think at the end of the day, in order to convince people to listen, it's just all about conveying an honest and kind of real, genuine conversation with someone. And I think, I don't know, even with my conversations day to day, I'm more inclined to really pay attention if I know that this interaction or any communication in general is just genuine. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's not the overall kind of end all solution, but I think if we're just kind of more open and honest with every person that we talk to and kind of decrease this level of just like, not fakeness, but just it's 2021 and we've all gone through so much. I think we've earned the chance to just be real with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think kind of at the end of the day, the solution would just be being genuine, I guess. I don't know if that's a great answer, but I think that's kind of what I go back to.
Yeah. And I think, I hope it's so tricky because you never would wish hardship on people, but it feels like we've all experienced this universal, ouch moment, especially in the past year and a half. And I don't know. I just hope that coming out of it, more people are inclined to, you know what? Yeah, it's worth opening up to the people I care about or looking for those connections where they matter in my life. But again,
exactly.
Well, it can't be forcing people, but I hope more people now than a couple of years ago. But yeah.
Agreed.
We kind of have like a question or a theme of the week. So this week's question is, what tools do you use in your day-to-day life to de-stress? And, you know, with that, what do you recommend to people who are looking to do the same?
Yeah, I mean, life's a stressful thing. So I think anything helps. For me, at least, you know, I like starting and ending my day with something. Like, I start my day with coffee or end it with tea. Just kind of that process of, you know, making a cup of coffee in the morning or making tea at night just kind of gives you a chance to unplug a little bit and just focus on one particular task, which I think helps like wake me up and wind down for the night. I think that's a good just kind of like small thing.
Yeah.
And then like a big picture de-stressor for me is just writing and taking 5 minutes out of the day just to kind of jot down whatever's going on in the scrambled brain that I have like helps so much just to kind of keep me grounded and keep me focused on what just the day's goal is and all those weird little stressors that I have. If I jot them down, at least they're concrete and I know that they're going on. So I think that helps for sure.
I love that. And I know it to be true so much. I have between some copies of physical journals and some like virtual diaries, journals, whatever. Mm-hmm. At different points in my life, I've kept records of my days where, you know, at the end of each day or at the start of the next one, I, you know, mark down what has happened. And it's only been for a few months at a time that I had any consistency with these. But whenever I go back and I look at these entries and I remember these days, it's so vivid and it's so clear. And I remember so clearly what I was going through. And this is shit from like years ago. I'm like, damn. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I did this every day, I would be in such a better place. So listen, the process works.
It does.
The follow through can vary from person to person, but I can vouch for, Yeah, that is so helpful. And as it's exactly as you're speaking to, sort of untangling the spaghetti mess of the brain and putting it in a really tangible, readable way. Yeah.
Exactly. It gives you the chance to kind of just look back to if you keep somewhat of a journal. I mean, I'm also not the most diligent when it comes to trying to write. I mean, there's some weeks are better than other weeks for sure.
Yeah.
But if you just look back on that stuff and you're like, whoa, like 6 months ago, this was what I was worrying about. And like today, like I'm not even thinking about that thing. It's just kind of, I don't know. It's a cool growth experience too. Just personal growth in general.
You know what? I'm gonna get back on it. It might only be for a couple months, but I think I could definitely use that right now. Thank you. I love that.
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic. Sweet. That's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans for the rest of your day?
I wish I did. It's a beautiful day, so I might go for a walk, just kind of enjoy that sunshine. I mean, living in California's kind of got that perk for me.
Oh yeah.
And then just kind of keep it chill, I guess. Yeah.
I love that. Love that so much. Well, I do want to thank you for your time and words. It really means a lot.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much, Brad, for having me on.
A pleasure on my end as well. So thank you so much.
But
yeah, I'll let you to it. Do enjoy your chill day. But I'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Thank you again.
All right. Ciao.
Enjoy your day. Bye.
Special thanks to Courtney, Dominic, Leah, and everyone who submitted a response for making this episode possible. Intro music provided by Wayfie, that's W-A-Y-F-I-E, and accompanying tracks by Lowboil, that's L-O-B-O-I-L, who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. I'll see you soon, and thanks for tuning in to Blonde Radio.